So I want to tell you a story. It's story time. Happy Monday. Welcome to the show. So I spent the weekend, starting last week on Friday, with a bunch of Christian nationalists. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and put a pin in my storytelling time to share with you that, as I've mentioned before, the term Christian nationalist is just used to discourage, number one, Christians from voting. Number two, Christians from taking part in our political processes. And number three, it's a tool of demonization akin to what was done in the Nazi era, where they used certain words to describe Jewish people to turn the rest of the populace against them. They otherized Jewish people, and they took years to do it. They didn't do it all in one fell swoop. They didn't just say, you know, stick a tag on that Jew, that person's going to the gas chamber. No, they did it slowly and methodically. And you can find the history of it with your supercomputer that's right in your hand right now as we're speaking. Or you can read Bonhoeffer by Eric Metaxas to learn how they did it. There are so many wonderful resources out there. It's more than I can fathom that we have people who don't understand how that happened and how much today resembles that time. Different country, yes. Different era, yes. Different technology, yes. But tactics identical to those used to otherize the Jewish people. And so I spent my weekend with a bunch of those kind of people. My husband and I flew out to California. We went to a part of California I've never been to before. It was only my fourth trip into the state of California in my entire life. I've been to Russia when it was the USSR. I've been to France four times, and I've been to all these other countries. And I just, California is like another country to me because I just don't go there as frequently as I go to, say, Washington, D.C. or Florida or Kentucky, you know, just states that I travel to a lot. In comparison, when I go to Florida, it's kind of a special occasion. Last time I was there, I believe, was 2019 when I went for the NRB convention, National Religious Broadcasters, and our youngest daughter went with us. I was just she and I, and I was broadcasting from there. It was a really, really great trip. So anyway, I'm in this really posh, fancy part of California. Beachfront, there's the ocean, there's the gloriousness of God's creation, the wonderful smell of, I think they're gardenias. I'm not really sure because they come in different colors. And so I can never be sure if I'm looking at exactly the same plant that I think I know as a gardenia, but the amazing smell of that. And the hotel is one of the fanciest hotels I've ever been in. It's not the hotel that we spent the night in. We didn't actually get the room rate. So we stayed down the street in a Hilton, which was actually very nice, but not this hotel. But my husband and I went there because we were the invited guests of a good friend of mine. And as we were spending the weekend, I began to notice some things that stuck out that were different from other conferences that I attend. And I go to a lot of conferences, or as I should say, I have been to, because of late post-COVID, there have been fewer conferences and I have made fewer, efforts to actually attend them. And so, you know, it's a Christian conference in that the majority of the people there are Christians, but it's not one in which you actually have, you know, let's say a sermon, but you do have these amazing organizations who are talking about the work that they do. And it's very inspiring. And they intentionally have all of the speakers end on an upbeat note to encourage people to continue to do the work that has to be done. And much of the work that has to be done is about rejecting the leftist narrative and pushing back on the things that the left is doing right now. And so there were a lot of speakers about those things. But what I noticed about it that was so refreshing to me, that really filled up my spirit, because I feel like sometimes there's a wild bear inside of me fighting to get out at all of the injustice. I am so overwhelmingly upset and angry about the deaths of the children by the illegal aliens, about the incoming violence that is bound to occur because we have so many military age fighting men in the country, the unpreparedness of our country for an EM, electromagnetic pulse attack. There's just so much going on, and the news is mostly bad. And I am a perpetually upbeat person. I believe in hope. I have Jesus Christ as my savior. I worry for nothing because absent from the body is present with the Lord. But I still want to see fewer children dying, fewer children sex trafficked, fewer children learning about pornography, fewer children going through the gender affirming care, which is nothing but a dastardly plan from the enemy to steal their future progeny, their parents, grandchildren, and also their ability to live a normal life. It is the lie, kill, steal, and destroy element of Satan's work in perpetual motion. And I see all of that, and it's very discouraging. So I went to this conference expecting to get good information, but there was something I got that I didn't expect. I had a fresh infusion of hope. There were so many people there. I knew about a third of the people there, which was a surprise to me because I was expecting to see a few familiar faces, but not that many. I had interviewed, I think, maybe a third of the people who were on the on the program here on radio. And so that was a welcome surprise. I got to shake hands and meet people that I hadn't ever met but had interviewed multiple times. So it was nice to put a face with the name and, you know, a face with the voice. But the part that gave me so much hope was that usually at conferences, people are friendly, but it's not a universal type of friendliness. There's a lot of people recognizing each other and camaraderie for people that you know. You might meet new people and forge new connections, but at this place, everyone was very, very interested in meeting anyone they'd never seen before. So I had people coming up to me and my husband and introducing themselves and saying, you know, what state are you here from? Or do you have an organization that you're here representing? And after the first 3 hours of that, it just kept happening. You know, are you sitting here? Is this seat taken? And I'm like, no, it's yours. And then, you know, the person would sit down and hold sustained conversation while we're eating breakfast or lunch or standing out in the hallway after running to the restroom or the charging station. I would have someone come up and say, you wouldn't happen to be Stacy on the right. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, I am, guilty as charged. And then we 30 minutes of chitter chatter. And there was that just kept on going. People asking if I, you know, my husband and I, do you have kids? What, how old are your kids? Blah, blah, blah. There was so much exchange of goodwill and kindness and hope. And it was exactly what I needed. It was, and so I didn't spend any time on my laptop. I did use my phone while I was there, I'll admit, but I didn't actually break my laptop out the entire weekend. I didn't do any work. I just listened to the panel. Sometimes I took notes, and there was a lot of information that I brought back to disseminate to you here on the program. And we'll start with that tonight. Later, after our first hour, we have two guest segments this hour, but I just wanted to talk about this because I need to drive home a point, which is that the Bible says, don't forsake gathering together. And it's specifically referring to attending church, but it also extends out into our lives for work and for play and for the other aspects that we sometimes tend to cordon off. There's Sunday and there's Wednesday, or there's Sunday and there's, you know, whatever day you attend Bible study. And then the rest of your life, you kind of organize it and you don't intentionally bump into people who share your faith, people who have the similar, you know, I don't know, similar thing that they're doing with you, or the way they're doing life with you. And in this case, it's being a Christian. And so it's not that I was in a place where there were a ton of people who we have identical viewpoints. There were differing viewpoints present. It's not that there was a moment for us to kind of, you know, be in lockstep, almost like automatons. That's not it. There was a lot of differing thought. There was a lot of different information presented, all of it to preserve the Judeo-Christian foundation of this country and to roll back the march through the institutions that the left has undertaken that is so destructive to our children, to our futures, to our national sovereignty, to our national policy. But there was just a sense of camaraderie there that the people at that conference wanted to make sure that since they'd never seen me before, that I got caught up in that sense of camaraderie and felt it the entire weekend. And so the last event was after the keynote speaker at dinner, who happened to be Glenn Beck. We had a ice cream social where you literally got to go through a buffet line and choose which ice cream scoops you wanted and then cover them with toppings. And we're just standing around eating ice cream. And it just felt so amazing, even though we were covering difficult topics and politics is not exactly fun anymore. I came out of it with a whole new perspective on what kind of work I can do and things that I can add to what I'm already doing in my role as a radio host and TV presenter, that I can do those things a little differently, that there are some new connections that I've made, that I can advance the causes that I believe in so strongly, which all have to do with keeping this country the greatest experiment that has ever been known, and the part that I can play in doing that. And so I want you to just think about how you can possibly intersect with some others who are on the same team, not for the purpose of, you know, kind of running down the Democrats, because they do have terrible ideas, and it is a good thing to point those out. But we do need to, as people who are in the fight for the right reason, true believers, people who are trying to make a difference and preserve something that is special and unique and God-given and worth our time and effort and energy and sacrifice. That's America. That we have to replenish our spirits. We have to fill ourselves back up. And for me, that's what this weekend did. And I certainly need it because, you know, the thing is, you know, none of us are 100% nice. None of us are 100%, you know, no one's all good. Everyone has a streak within them that they're battling with at all times that wants to come out and take everything over. And that's, you know, sanctification is beating that thing back and becoming more like Jesus. And I think a weekend like the one we just had, surroundings notwithstanding, because we could have had just as good of a time if that conference had been here in St. Louis without the ocean, the beautiful blue water, the sun in the sky, the perfect weather. Without all of that, it still would have been an amazing experience because there was a like-mindedness that permeated the space. And there was just a sense that everyone there was wanting to be there with each other and get to know each other and see how the work that they're doing intersects with the work that you're doing to advance the cause. And that is so valuable. So if you can find a way to get into a space like that, do it. Clear the deck. Change your schedule if you have to. Tighten up on one thing so you can get on that plane or make that drive to get there. Because if you don't, you get run down and you lose some of the hope and you lose some of the spark and you begin to feel as if maybe the other thing, the evil thing, will win eventually, that really maybe there's just no point in voting or doing precinct captain or being a poll watcher. Maybe I just shouldn't, you know, be a GOP committee man or committee woman. Maybe, you know, it's, what's the point of going to that city council meeting? I'd rather stay home and put my feet up. And you should rest and you should put your feet up, but you should also attend that city council meeting. I met some of the best people on the planet this weekend. And I, quite frankly, I was kind of shocked to be there. Not that I have a low opinion of myself. I'm not sure how I got into that space, other than it was providential. A good friend who made me an offer I couldn't refuse. And I showed up instead of staying home to work, because I've been doing a lot of that. I've been skipping a lot of things to stay here and work. And so this one time that I was like, we're going to go. And, you know, as my week started stacking up 2 weeks ago when it was time to register and get ready to go do this thing, I had second thoughts about going. Because I thought to myself, I just have so much work to do. I need to be on the show. I need to do TV. I need to do this. How am I going to do this? How am I going to arrange that? And I kind of just said, you know what? I'm going to this thing. I want to go to this event. I want to experience it. I've never been before, never been invited before. And so that's what I did. And so I'm encouraging you to do it too. It's not like we're going to get points for going to things or not going to things, right? You have to do it because you want to. But you only get to live once. I only got last weekend the one time. It's gone now. I can't get it back. And so I have to say I'm really glad that we made the effort to go and to spend time with those people. I'm looking forward to the cool stuff we're going to get to do together. And I hope you'll hear me when I say you probably need a conference like that too. And you probably have some email that you either didn't open or you thought, I'm not going. I'm not going to take the time. Maybe go back and look at it again. And get out there. We need to start linking arms again. We need to throw off the last vestiges of the pandemic, because it's important for us to spend time strategizing, laughing, eating good food, and asking each other about each other's kids and grandkids and, you know, so on and so forth. We need to do it. So that was the conference that I went to, and I'm glad that I got to go, and I cannot wait to share with you some information. I got a memo. This is a memo from a fantastic organization, and it talks about branding the Democrats. This is what we talk about on the show so often, but this memo actually crystallizes all of my hours of talk into 5 pages. And I'm going to share some of that with you tonight on the show. So let's take the break. We want to honor her time. We have Senator Marsha Blackburn joining us after this break. You are not going to want to miss that. And also, StacyOnTheRight.com for the show notes for radio and television. We'll be right back.